There's an awful lot that happens in this story from the Gospel of John, but it is a seemingly casual remark, a parenthesis, that captured my attention as I reread the story this week. You probably missed it too, as it was mentioned only in passing in verse 7, when we still had about 33 verses to go. So let me refresh your memory. Jesus has just made the mud to spread on the man's eyes. And then he says to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. That's it. The key to this passage, a parenthesis, which means sent. You're probably thinking, what's the big deal? The Gospel of John is just filling us in on the meaning of the word. Siloam means sent. The Greek word is apostello, and you can hear just by the saying of it that this is where we get our word apostle. And an apostle is someone who is sent. So this pool where the blind man washes the mud off his eyes is the pool of sending. The sending pool. The pool of apostles. You wash in this pool and you become an apostle of Jesus, one who is sent by him into the world. "As the Father has sent me," Jesus says, "so I send you." It might not be such a big deal, except that this is exactly what happens to this blind man. He is sent. He becomes an apostle. We typically think of this as a healing story, but the healing takes place in the first few verses. Most of this story is about what the healed man does next, explaining, defending, interpreting what has happened to him, telling people what Jesus has done. That, after all, is what apostles do. It's what you do when you're sent. And here's the really interesting thing. The blind man does all of this, the explaining and the defending and the interpreting. He does all of this pretty much on his own. After the healing, Jesus disappears from this story until the very end. In fact, it's the longest absence of Jesus in the whole Gospel of John. So this poor man, this man who just moments ago was a blind man, is on his own. And the neighbors are left to wonder if this is the same God. He assures them that he is, in fact, the same God that has lived next door all these years, but they still have a lot of questions. How exactly were your eyes opened? And who is this Jesus you keep talking about? And the man simply answers, "I do not know." It's not long, of course, until all of this catches the attention of the Pharisees. Because all of this unusual activity, this mud spreading and this healing, all of it is happening on the Sabbath. And this is the problem, because you don't do such things on the Sabbath. It's against the law. The rules were really quite simple and straightforward. If someone had a life threatening emergency on the Sabbath, then you could call 911 and have them rushed to the emergency room. But if the condition was not life-threatening, like, say, a man who had been blind all of his life, then you were supposed to wait until after the Sabbath before you healed him. And Jesus had performed this non-life-threatening healing on the Sabbath. By this time, of course, Jesus is nowhere to be found. So the Pharisees instead grilled the man with increasing intensity. "How did he heal you?" they want to know. "As I told you, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and now I see." And then they got to arguing among themselves. He's got to be a sinner, that Jesus, because he healed on the Sabbath. But then again, how could a sinner pull off a healing like that? They turned back to the blind man. "What do you say about him?" "He's a prophet," the man says. I pictured the man hearing those words coming out of his mouth and saying to himself, "Where did that come from?" Just a little while ago, he was blind and he didn't know Jesus from Adam, and now he's calling him a prophet. So the Pharisees call in her parents, but they're scared to death, and so they put it back on their son, the man who was blind and now can see. "He's of age," they say. "Ask him." So they call him again, We know this Jesus is a sinner, they say. But the man isn't buying. All I know is that I was blind, but now I see. Wait a minute, say the Pharisees. You may be a disciple of this Jesus, but we're disciples of Moses, and we don't know anything about this Jesus. And so the man responds with the longest speech in the whole story. We can see just how far he's already come. Here's an astonishing thing, he says. You say that you know all this stuff about God, but you don't know about this man who healed me. You know, this sort of thing doesn't happen every day. In fact, it hasn't happened since the world began, so he must be from God. A lot has happened in this story. A man washes in the pool of sending, the sending pool, the pool of apostles, and he doesn't have a clue about Jesus or who he is. But the further it goes, the stronger his words become. From, I don't know, to, he's a prophet, to, he is from God. And finally, when Jesus meets him again at the end of the story, the man confesses, Lord, I believe. At the same time that he's been kicked out of the synagogue, he's gotten closer to Jesus. It seems to me that this man's story is a lot like many of our stories. You don't wake up one day with all the answers about God. You grow into it from, I don't know, to, I believe. And it all starts at the center. You watch, and then you go out to explain and defend and interpret Jesus to the world. You know that you don't have all the answers. You just know that Jesus has somehow touched your life that once you didn't see, but now you do. The man in our story doesn't know anything except who gave him sight. So he's sticking up for Jesus, even when he's all by himself, even when it gets him into trouble for doing it. For the blind man, it all starts with that one step. He watches in the sending pool, and he's off on a new way of life. And before you know it, he's lecturing the Pharisees about the mysteries of God. In the early church, they loved this story of the man who was born blind. Paintings have been found on the walls of the catacombs where Christians used to meet of this story. And when new believers would present themselves for baptism, the leader would read several passages from the Old Testament having to do with the cleansing power of water. And then oftentimes the leader would read this passage about a man who had washed in the sending pool and had gone out as an apostle of Jesus. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. You wash in the sending pool, and it changes everything. And you never know for sure where you will be sent as an apostle of Jesus, only that you know that you're supposed to go. So wouldn't it be something if there really were a sending pool like that, where you could wash, and it would make you an apostle of Jesus? Wouldn't it be something if you were to wash there and find your own blindness and sin washed away? Wouldn't it be something if being washed in those waters could empower you to go out into the world in the name of Jesus to tell others about what God was doing in the world and in your own life? Wouldn't it be something if there were such a place, such a pool, such a commission to be sent, to live your life for the sake of the one who had washed you and made you clean? Wouldn't that be something? Yes, it sure would. Thanks.